Matthew 1, verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now watch this, "For he shall save his people from their sin. Call his name Jehovah Saves, because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus is wonderful. Can you say amen to that? Friend, he's wonderful in his birth, wonderful in his life, wonderful in his miracles, wonderful in his teaching, wonderful in his death, wonderful in his resurrection, wonderful in his ascension. And oh, what wonder of wonders when Jesus comes again.
Profound truth simply stated. This is Love Worth Finding with pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers.
Today I want to speak to you about the wonderful name of Jesus. Look in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." President of the United States said when man first walked on the moon that this was a momentous occasion. As a matter of fact, he said this, "The planting of human feet on the moon is the greatest moment in human history." The planting of human feet on the moon is the greatest moment of human history. He was wrong, very, very wrong. The greatest moment in human history was when God stepped out of heaven and human feet were placed upon planet Earth. When that baby was born in Bethlehem so long ago. Now, we have the ability to put a man on the moon. But this sophisticated age of aspirin eaters needs to understand that man with all of his vaunted wisdom is ignorant if he doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. What good does it do for a man to know biology and not know Jesus, the Rose of Sharon, who can perfume any life? What good does it do a man to know astronomy and how the heavens go and not know Jesus, the bright and morning star, and how to go to heaven? What good does it do a man if he knows the study of history and all of the events that have taken place and still not know the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we live and move and have our being? History is his story. What good does it do a man if he knows geology and the study of the rocks and doesn't know Jesus, the Rock of Ages? The greatest event has not been man walking on the moon, but Almighty God, God in human flesh, walking upon this planet. Now, his name is wonderful. And the three things I want us to learn about his wonderful name and personage this morning. First of all, I want us to learn what I'm going to call his supernatural nature. Now, he's just not the peasant from Galilee. He is God in human flesh. Look again in chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Now don't miss this, "the Mighty God." Christmas morning, God sent a package to earth, and it was deity wrapped up in human flesh. In humanity. And that son who lay in the manger that Christmas morning was the great eternal uncreated God. Put in your margin John chapter 1 and look, if you will, in verses 1 through 3. "In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God. Now listen to this. And the Word was God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him, nothing was made. Without Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. This baby did not have his beginning in Bethlehem. Jesus always has been and always will be. Now listen, Jesus is fully God. Say fully. Fully God. He's not part God. He is fully God. He is the Word. What is a word? A word is an expression of an invisible thought. Jesus Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. He is God speaking to us in human flesh. Now, Jesus is God. He is called here in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the mighty God. The mighty God, the Son that was born, is called the mighty God. There are the scriptures that teach the same thing. Hebrews 1 verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Now when somebody knocks on your door and claims to be a witness of Jehovah, you find out if they believe that Jesus Christ is God of very God, the mighty God, the Word, the eternal Word that was God and with God, made flesh. Jesus is fully God. That's the reason in John chapter 20 and verse 28, when Thomas saw the nail prints in his hand and the scar in his side and realized that he had been raised from the dead, fell on his face and said, my Lord and my God. I'm telling you, if Jesus Christ is not Lord and God, then that was blasphemous. And it was wrong for Jesus Christ to allow it. Now, when the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, he's not talking about a start. He's talking about a state. There has never been a time when he was not. He made everything. Without him was not anything made that was made. He made a billion, billion stars. He made every molecule. Without him was not anything made that was made. This little baby that was in the manger, this baby in the manger was the mighty God who created everything. When he was born, he was as old as his father and older than his mother. He was fully, fully God. So when you start with Jesus, you do not start in the manger with Mary, but you start in eternity. Jesus never had a beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the word was speaks of eternal time. Now you see the majesty of his birth. He's God. But think with me for a moment about the mystery of his humanity. Now, Jesus is the Word. The Word speaks of God, but that Word was translated into flesh. John Phillips, a great Bible teacher, said this, and I copied it down. The great mystery of the manger is that God should be able to translate deity into humanity without either discarding the deity or distorting the humanity. There was never another like the Lord Jesus. He was the God-man. Not all God and no man. Not all man and no God. Not half man and half God. He was the God-man, fully God and fully man. That little baby lying in the straw was the great eternal God of Genesis 1, where it says, in the beginning was the God created the heavens and the earth. Because the Bible says without Jesus, nothing was made. That little toddler learning to walk holding Mary's hand was the one who created the universes. That little baby playing in the shavings there in the carpenter shop was God, a very God. Now, you may have difficulty understanding that. I do. But I believe it. I believe it. It's a mystery. The mystery of His humanity. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. This is the great mystery of godliness. Now we see His majesty and we see His humanity, and these two are linked together. Now Jesus was born of a virgin. That is, God stepped out of heaven, came to this earth through the portals of a virgin's womb. Now there are theologians today who tell us, well, the virgin birth is not important. Let me tell you how important it is. Friend, without the virgin birth, you're going to go to hell. I don't mean to be blunt about it, but I want to be clear. Without a virgin birth, you would go to hell. Now think with me. If there had been no virgin birth, this baby would not have had a deity. He would not have been the Son of God. No virgin birth, no deity. No deity, no sinlessness. He would have been a child of Adam. And in Adam all die. No sinlessness, no perfect sacrifice, because God could not accept a sinner as a substitute for another sinner. No sinless sacrifice. No sinless sacrifice, no hope of heaven. You see, Jesus was born of a virgin that you might be born again. Jesus came to earth that you might go to heaven. Now, sometimes people say, well, I don't believe in the virgin birth. May I tell you, you've got some problems. Your problem, first of all, is with the character of the Word of God that teaches it. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says that a woman shall conceive and be with child, a virgin shall conceive and be with child. You have a trouble with the character of the Word of God. I'll tell you what else you have difficulty with. You have difficulty with the character of Mary. Had Jesus not been born of a virgin, Mary, who had not yet been married, would have been a harlot. If Jesus is not born of a virgin. Not only do you have difficulty with the character of the Word of God and the character of Mary, you have difficulty with the character of Jesus. If Jesus had been born a normal birth, He would have been a sinner like all of us are born sinners, and would have been by nature a child of wrath. He would not have been the earthly son of a heavenly Father. I'm going to tell you something else. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, you've got problems with your own character. I mean, if you doubt that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, Jesus is the great eternal Son of God. Now, why? Why was Jesus born of a virgin? Again, I want to tell you, He was born of a virgin that you and I might be saved. Now, I've talked about His supernatural nature, God in human flesh. Let me move on to the second point. Not only is He God in human nature, a supernatural nature, but I want you to notice His sovereign nobility. This one who was God in human flesh is born a king. Look again, if you will, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now watch this. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. That means He is a king. Going down into verse 7. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, in order to establish it, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And then he says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, once you see His majesty, then you can understand His nobility. Jesus Christ is born king. I tell you what, you can't vote him in and you can't impeach him. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the Bible says that the zeal of the Lord of Hosts is going to establish this government. Don't get the idea that Jesus is ruling and reigning on earth now. He is not. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Jesus is cast aside just as he was born in a stable so long ago. This world has no real room for the Lord Jesus Christ, but he is King of Kings. People say, well, have you made Jesus Lord? You're too late for that, friend. He is Lord. He has been Lord, always has been Lord. God the Father has called him Lord. And if you don't understand the cradle and the cross and the crown, you do not understand Christmas. He is Lord. That's his sovereign nobility. But let me close the message this morning, not immediately, but the third point. I want you to see not only his sovereign nobility, but I want you to see his saving name. That's the third thing I want you to look at. His name is wonderful. Now, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. What's in the name of Jesus? Well, first of all, there is wonder in that name. Wonder in that name. The name Jesus is a compound name. It literally means Jehovah saves. He was God who came to save. And his name was from heaven. Matthew 1 verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now watch this. For he shall save his people from their sin. Call his name Jehovah saves, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is wonderful. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Friend, he's wonderful in his birth. Wonderful in his life. Wonderful in his miracles. Wonderful in his teaching. Wonderful in his death. Wonderful in his resurrection. Wonderful in his ascension. And oh, what wonder of wonders when Jesus comes again. I heard of a man who had been blind for a long time. And they gave him an operation and he could see again. And he was on a train looking out the window. And he was looking at the landscape, the flowers, the animals, and over again he was saying, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Would to God that your eyes could be opened this morning to see the wonders in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is wonder in that name. Number two, there is wisdom in that name because he's also called Counselor. Do you need wisdom? Friend, when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be made unto you wisdom. This world thinks it's so wise. Where has 6,000 years of human wisdom brought us? To the very brink of destruction. But there is wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his name. Colossians 2 verse 3, it speaks of Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How great to have Jesus in your heart to guide you. Wonder in that name. There is wisdom in that name. And friend, there is wealth in that name. He is the mighty God. Jesus is the mighty God. Again, I remind you that he made it all. When Jesus spoke, billions of suns came into existence. Oceans dripped from his fingertips. Have you ever thought about the strength of our God, his creation? I was reading something interesting. If you were to take one drop of water, and turn all of the molecules into that one drop of water, into grains of sand, it would be enough to build a superhighway a half mile wide and 2 feet thick from New York to San Francisco. That's the molecules in one drop of water. And then you think of what our Lord Jesus Christ did with billions and billions of suns and stars. It all belongs to Jesus. Friend, there is wonder in that name. There's wisdom in that name. There is wealth in that name. And there is worship in that name, because He's called the Everlasting Father. Now the Bible says we're to worship God and Him only. And if Jesus is not the Everlasting Father, He's not worthy of worship. Do you understand that? Now if somebody comes to your doorstep, you want to know whether or not they are a false cult. Let me give you one question to ask them. Do you worship Jesus? Do you worship Jesus? Now, I tell you what, that'll throw them into a pandemonium. Because if they say, we don't worship Jesus, you can show them over and over and over again where Jesus was worshiped in the Scripture. Even the wise men came, and the Bible says when the baby Jesus was there, they did what? They worshiped Him. They didn't cuddle Him or coddle Him or play games with Him. They worshiped Him. Now you ask these people this question. Do you worship Jesus? If they say, no, we don't worship Jesus, just take the Bible and show them over and over again where Jesus was worshiped. If they say, okay, we do worship Jesus, then say, do you admit He's God? Because God alone is to be worshiped. And thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and no one else. If Jesus is not God and He is worshiped, that is the ultimate in blasphemy. For others to do it and for Him to allow it. In the book of the Revelation, the Apostle John saw a mighty angel, and the angel was so glorious, John fell on his face to worship Him. And the angel said, look, get up off your face. Worship God and Him only. That is, John, if you don't get up, you're going to be in trouble for worshiping Me, and I'll be in trouble for allowing it. No, listen, there is worship in that name. He is the mighty God. Do you believe that? I hope you do. When you worship Jesus, you're worshiping Almighty God. And I want to tell you also, there is welfare in that name. His name is Prince of Peace. Now, do you want peace? You'll never have it apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the key to peace. He is the key to peace in one's heart. He is the key to domestic peace, international peace, everlasting peace. And there can never be any peace apart from the Prince of Peace. Now, the ultimate peace is coming when Jesus comes to rule and to reign. That's the reason we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There'll be no peace in the Middle East until Jesus comes and establishes His throne there. But you can have that peace in your heart. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Philippians 4 verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. May I ask you a personal question? Now answer it sincerely. Do you have peace in your heart? Peace like a river from a higher source flowing constantly? I was speaking to a man to witness to him. He had retired recently, and he was standing in front of his house. I knew the man needed Jesus. I tried to witness to him. He said, I'm fine, just like I am. He said, I'm healthy. He said, you see that house? It's paid for. He said, I have a wife in there. I have everything I need. I said, sir, may I ask you a question, and would you answer it totally, honestly, please? He looked, no, I said, really, seriously. Will you answer this question honestly? He said, yes, okay, I will. I said, sir, do you have peace in your heart? He kind of muttered a little bit. He said, well, I'll tell you, I'm well fixed. I said, I didn't ask you that. Now, you said you'd be honest. Tell me, Do you have peace in your heart? And his chin started to quiver. He said, no, I don't. How did you know that I didn't? And I showed him in the Word of God where the Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I don't care what you have, friend. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have peace. He is the Prince of Peace. There's welfare in that name. Has anybody ever left you anything in a will? Oh, Jesus has. Jesus said, my peace give I unto you. My peace leave I with you. I give it, I leave it. It's your legacy. It's given to you. Jesus left his body to Joseph of Arimathea to bury it. Jesus left his mother to the Apostle John to take care of her. Jesus left his spirit, or yielded his spirit back to God. But he left you peace. And that is a legacy that no lawyer can break and no judge can annul. It is peace that passes understanding. I'm telling you, there is welfare in that name. Jesus gives you peace. Thank God for this wonderful, wonderful name. Now, I ask you this question. Do you have that peace? Do you? A woman was dying, and some people came to her. They knew she was dying. They thought maybe she didn't know she was dying because she seemed so nonchalant about it. And they said to her, friend, do you know you're dying? She, with a sweet look on her face, said, yes, I know I'm dying. And they said, well, have you made peace with God? She shook her head and said, no. And they thought maybe she didn't understand. They said, do you know you're dying? She said, yes, I know I'm dying. Well, have you made peace with God? She said, no. She said, I am resting in the peace that Jesus Christ has made for me. She knew that he is the Prince of Peace. Let me just wrap this up and tell you what happened to me this week. Tell you how foolish your pastor is. I drove my car off the road across a field because I thought there was a persimmon tree out there that I'd seen before. And I said to myself, this is the time for a ripe persimmon, and I'd like one. And so I drove my automobile off the road. And I looked up there, and there were no persimmons in the tree. So when I started to move again, my tires just went zzzz. So I thought, well, I better be careful here. I might get stuck. So I just began to try to ease it out, but it didn't move. It got down deeper and deeper. I got out and I said, I'm going to have to dig out of here. And I found an old board and tried to dig out. Got in the car. That didn't work. Looked out in the woods and I found a piece of carpet. I thought, well, if I could put that under my wheels, maybe I could get out. That didn't work. So I said, I'll just rock it back and forth, back and forth. Deeper and deeper and deeper. Folks, I was stuck. And I felt so silly, so foolish. I was hoping two things. Number one, that nobody would see me. And number two, that somebody would see me. And so I'm out there. And I did. And I really prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, there's nothing too small for you. I'm stuck. I don't know how I'm going to get out. Lord, please send somebody to help me. Now, friend, I'm not exaggerating the story. In probably less than a minute, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, a man stopped, looked out there, drove out to where I was. He had a truck, four-wheel truck. And I said, "Look, I'm stuck." He said, "No, don't worry about it." He said, "I've got a hook. Let's put this on your car." And he said, I've got a cable. Let's hook it to my car." And he said, "I'll pull you out." And he pulled me out. And he said, "Now drive carefully." And I did. When I got home, that car was covered with mud. And I had to get out and take a hose and hose all the mud off. And I got to thinking about that. That's the way so many people are. They're looking for the things of this world, a persimmon as it is, and they get stuck. They get mired in sin. But they say, "Oh, I can take care of this. I can just ease my way out." But the more they struggle, the deeper they sink. And then there comes one whose name is Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God, who sees us in our predicament. By the way, that man saw me before I saw him. He came to me before I asked him. He came to say, "I want to help you. I can." At that time, I had a decision. I could have said, "No, I'll handle this myself, mired in mud and getting deeper all the time." Or I could have said, which I did say, "Sir, thank you. Please help me. I need help." And he hooked himself onto my car and pulled me out of the mud, set my feet upon a rock, and got me going. Now, look, I was covered in mud, and I needed to be cleaned up, but I couldn't clean up until I got out. Let me tell you, that's what salvation is. Our Lord Jesus sees us struggling and getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and he sees us, and he comes to us, and he lifts us, and he saves us. He puts our feet on solid ground. And then we spend some time getting the mud off. That's what it's all about. There is a Savior who came to this world. His name is Jesus. And friend, if you're mired down, he wants to come to you and pull you out. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank God for the wonderful Savior. There's wonder in his name. There's worship in his name. There is welfare in his name. Would you say, "Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm kind of like the pastor was. I'm stuck in the mud. Lord, I've tried to get out. It just seems like I get deeper. Lord, help me. Rescue me. Lift me out. Lord Jesus." Pray a prayer like this. "Oh God, I'm a sinner, and I'm lost, and I need to be saved, and I can't save myself. Jesus, you came to me. You promised to save me if I would trust you. I do trust you right now with all of my heart. Come into my heart, forgive my sin, and save me." Pray that, friend. Pray it. Don't just think the words. Pray it from your heart. "Save me, Lord Jesus." Did you ask him? Then thank him for saving you. Thank him for doing it. And pray this way: "Lord, thank you for saving me. Now help me not to be ashamed of you. But help me, dear Lord, to make it open and plain that I love you. In your holy name I pray. Amen." Now, friend, let me speak a word to you personally. I rejoice with these in the worship center who have given their hearts to Jesus Christ, and maybe you have prayed with them and asked Christ into your heart. If you've not, please do it. And have the best Christmas ever, because Jesus Christ is now your Lord and Savior. And if you do it, write to us and let us know, and we'll send you some literature to help you to get started in your Christian life.
We hope that today's message has been an encouragement to you as Pastor Rogers brings us more profound truth simply stated. You can stream this message again, share this message with a friend, and download Pastor Rogers' outline, notes, and a complete transcript of this message, all at lwf.org or the MyLWF app. During this special season of the year, we hope you'll join us for our 24-hour live stream of many of Pastor Rogers' best-loved Thanksgiving and Christmas messages, as well as commentary from Pastor Rogers on what this season should mean to believers. You can join the live stream at lwf.org, the MyLWF app, or on the Love Worth Finding YouTube channel. It's a great way to get into the spirit of the season. The Ministry of Love Worth Finding is distinguished by the trusted voice of Adrian Rogers, delivering profound truth simply stated. We hope that during this special season of giving, you will decide to partner with us to continue to take all these messages to the ends of the earth. Go to lwf.org/donate to be a part. Thank you for joining us for today's message. We'll see you next time.
How sad it will be in the resurrection to meet a God face to face that we have not known, heart to heart. That's one of the great problems in today's church. We have many who know about God, few who know God intimately.
Know God Intimately with Moments of Truth, a new devotional book from Love Worth Finding. Taken directly from the sound biblical teaching of Pastor Adrian Rogers, this book gives you 365 devotionals to help you live closer to the Savior in the coming year. To thank you for your gift this month, we want to send you Moments of Truth. Request yours when you call with your gift at 1-800-647-9400 or give online at lwf.org. Learn to walk with Jesus moment by moment. Request Moments of Truth today.